Thank you, thank you. Good morning. Turn to the person next to you and say, good morning. Turn to the person next to you and say, buenos dias. Turn to the person next to you and say, guten tag. Turn to the person next to you and say, bonjour. And turn to the person next to you and say, hey, y'all doing all right, son? Look at all the languages you know. Hey, it's great to be with you. A number of reasons. Number one, I can't even tell you why, okay? I think this is maybe my fourth or whatever time being here. And I'm coming up that 89, and I drove up last night and stayed with the Smiths. And then as I get closer to this exit, I'm not kidding. It's like, oh, I get to go to a church where people smile and laugh and enjoy the Lord. I'm not kidding you. I think I was in 37 different churches last year on Sundays, and this is one of my favorite places to come. So glad to be here. You have a wonderful staff. And you know what? I don't know if you noticed why he was sharing prayer requests. Do you see him tear up? Does he do that a lot? Huh? He does? Yeah. Yep. It's okay. That's okay. In fact, that's probably why some of us are here today, isn't it? Because you got a pastor that really, really, really cares, okay? So, greetings from the wilds of New England. And Pastor mentioned roles change a little bit. Somebody told me that when you get like 69 or 70, it's on the edge of being old or something like that. And I will be 70 next year. And so we've been working on this. And Joe Kopp is now the director. And Amber and I have moved to Connecticut. We still work full-time for the Wilds, travel, do a lot of writing for them. And two things down there. Number one, we're only 2 miles from our son and two grandkids. That's sweet. Number two, we're only about 20 minutes from Emmanuel Baptist. You ever hear of a guy named Kerry Schmidt? And he is a dear friend, but he's also our pastor now. So we enjoy being there, and we really, really do. It's a great place. But the Wilds is one of those ministries that just touches the heart of kids, okay? And we want to be a blessing. So that's really been my life. In fact, probably 85% of my preaching is still to teens. I get nervous when I get in front of all you old people. I do. I do. I remind myself here, you're nothing more than teenagers with wrinkles, and then I'm okay, all right? Okay. How many of you have kids or grandkids? Let me see your hands. How many of you want your kids or grandkids to know God and love God and live for God? And I get asked all the time, Ren, what can I do? What can I do to simply get my kids to love God? Read your Bible. I'm not kidding. Dad, if you get up every morning and your kids walk by, or your wife walks in, you talk about giving confidence to a wife who has a husband that's willing to get up early in the morning and read his Bible. And you say, is it that simple? Yes. It really, really is. Read your Bible. Read, examine, apply, do. Say it with me. Read, examine, apply. Say it again. Just the ladies?
Read, examine, apply, do.
Just the men?
Read, examine, apply, do.
Just the pastor?
Read, examine,
apply. All right, what I'm going to put on the screen next, please. I know some of you are like incredibly intelligent, and you can read a lot faster than I, but we're going to do this together, okay? I'm going to put something on the screen, and we're all going to read it together in the same time, okay? I know you can do it. Here we go. If you can read this, you have a strange mind too. Can you read this? Only 55 people out of 100 can. I couldn't believe that I could actually understand what I was reading. The phenomenal power of the human mind. According to a research at Cambridge University, it doesn't matter in what order the letters in a word are. The only important thing is that the first and last letter be in the right place. The rest can be a total mess, and you can still read it without a problem. This is because the human mind does not read every letter by itself, but the word as a whole. Amazing, huh? Yeah, and I always thought the spelling was important. If you can read this, you can read anything. Got it? Read. Read your Bible. Examine it. Apply. Do. And we're going to see what this means, okay? Do you understand that I hear a baby And I met a lot of babies this morning. You got a lot of babies in your church. What do babies like to do? They like to cry, and they like to eat. It is natural. And as a newborn babe, as a young believer in Christ, once we admit that that we are sinners and we are guilty and our sin needs to be paid for, and the wages of sin is what? And death is like it's a type of separation. When I say death, you say separation. Death? Separation. Death? Okay, if death is separation, then eternal death is eternal separation. From? Yeah, that's true. Can you imagine being eternally separated from God and all that is good? And that's for those who choose not to put their faith and trust in Jesus, that he died for us, was buried, and rose again. But those who have, immediately, you're going to desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If you've so tasted that the Lord is gracious. Once you realize that your sins are forgiven and God by his grace gives us this eternal life, you cannot wait to get to know him better. It's actually what you would call a birthmark of the believer. And there's a couple of them here. I have teens come to me all the time, say, Ran, how do I know? How do I know I'm really saved? How do you guys know you're really saved? And the Bible tells us to examine ourselves. And it's not of works. And if I do a little checklist and I'm good and I don't do bad things. No. That is not it. It's nothing that we do. It's everything that Christ has done. But once you trust Christ and the Holy Spirit comes within, there's certain birthmarks that will be part of your life. And one is a hunger for the Word of God. And it does not mean that you're going to hit a home run every single day in your devotions, but the desire will be there. You will want to be in the Word, and because of the strong desire, obviously you'll give to it, okay? The second is conviction. Conviction. When you sin, what happens? When you volitionally sin, does it bother you? If the Holy Spirit of God lives within, at least when we sin, you're going to feel uncomfortable, okay? And this is just a birthmark that when it's not just we'll get in trouble or your wife will find out or your husband. No. Inside, say, stink, I did it again. I don't want to do it. True conviction. But there's another one is concern. Now, I have a special privilege, and I've had the privilege to work, as Pastor said, a long time. Since 1978, I've been a camp director and working with teens. And I've had the privilege to lead a lot of kids to the Lord. And you know what sometimes they say the minute they're done praying? Thank you for saving me, Lord. Amen. Hey, Ran, do you think God will save my daddy too? Can we pray for him? Immediately, they have a concern for souls. When the Spirit of God lives within, that person that has some special needs two houses down the street, you're going to want to go and visit them. You're going to invite them, say, we have the coolest church. What other church serves donuts and bear claws in the morning before, okay? You got to come. And by the way, it's not hard to do this. We just moved to Connecticut. And I've always lived at camp and in the woods. I've never been able to see a neighbor. Now we have people knocking on our door selling us everything from internet stuff to solar. So these solar guys come in, about 28 years of age. They come in, they see my study. That's gave them some questions. I quickly gave them the Dunn book, you know, to make sure they understand. And then I looked after he told us all about his stuff up there on the roof. I said, dude, you want to go to the coolest church in the world? Are you serious? Yeah. Just go with me. I promise you'll like it and you'll want to go back. Sunday morning, sitting right next to me in church, introduced him to Carrie. It's not hard, folks. Just be normal and real and loving. Tell them you want to go to a really, really cool church. Pastor's a little weird, but it's really cool. It is. And the last one is desire. Do you really want to change and become more like Jesus? Now, you examine your own heart. This is heart. This is not a checklist. This doesn't mean you're perfect, but I promise you, if the Spirit of God lives within, these birthmarks will be part of your heart. You say, Rand, they're not there. Then go kneel before your God. Confess that you're a sinner. Realize that there's nothing you can do to earn this salvation. He loves you because he loves you. Got it? So, even newborn babes, they really desire. So what are we to do? Read, examine, apply, do. Say it. Say it again. Turn to the person next to you and whisper it. Why? Okay, I love this. He says, I charge you by the Lord. Now get this. Paul said, hey, the God that created the universe asked me to tell you something. The God that sent his son to die, to make a way for us to live forever, has something he wants you to do. The Lord wanted this, that the epistle be read to all the believers, all the holy brethren. If God wants this, shouldn't we? So, why? Why should we read the Word of God? Here's a little list from one study to settle the issue of salvation. If you're struggling with this, I dare you to read through the Gospel of John. And just look at everything that Jesus did for us. And you get through that gospel and go, whoa, yes, I just need to trust him to grow spiritually. Again, my life's teens, and I love to stay in the courtyard at camp and listen to the girls talk. What do girls, teenage girls talk about? Teenage boys. What do teenage boys talk about? Food, sports, trucks, and finally girls, okay? But the girls would be in their little circle and say, oh, did you meet him? He is like so immature. You know, they say this all the time. Nobody wants to be called so immature. You don't want your kids to call you an immature Christian dad. You don't want your wife to call you immature. And sometimes we do. We want to get our ticket to heaven and leave it there and stay a toddler. You want to grow? You got to feed on the Word of God. To be encouraged by God. Pastor, isn't it true? You get up early in the morning and you say, what's one of the best things you ever did for your devotions? Dunkin' Donuts coffee. Okay, I got my coffee, got my quiet place that there's no distractions. It's almost like God reaches down and gives you a big hug, isn't it? It really is. It's one of those things you can't wait to do. You get up early, you wake up in the morning, and it's like 20 minutes before your alarm goes off. You think, sweet, I have an extra 20 minutes with God today. I'm serious. That can happen in your life. To arm yourself against Satan's forces. Satan hates your God, therefore he hates you. And he wants to get you to love someone or something else more than him. That's his goal, to present ourselves approved unto God. Bible's in the front lines. In some places it's difficult, some places dangerous, some illegal. Brave men and women risking arrest, beatings, imprisonment, and even death to get God's word into hands of those who otherwise would never ever hear it or see it. I was preaching last week in North Carolina at the Other Wilds, and before I hit the airport Friday morning, I got to sit down and pray with a friend of mine who I'd never met. Got that? I'd prayed for him. J.D. Crowley's his name. He went to Cambodia where there was nothing but demon worship in Hinduism 30 years ago. Now he has cancer. He's my age. He's going back as soon as he gets his operation done. They have a couple churches and a little Bible school. Just the faithfulness, okay? But if you look at the lightest color, it's kind of dangerous, difficult. Illegal in the red part. Covert operations. I mean, you could be put to death. And we live in America. And we've got three or four Bibles on our shelves at home and still don't read like we should. I love these pictures. I actually like the top middle one. There's people risking death, risking their lives, just to get Bibles and Bible storybooks into places where nobody else would have them. And look at the faces. Look at the smiles. Because the Word of God is so exciting to these people who have never had it before. And again, we can grab our phone and pull up how many different languages of the Bible and don't read like we should. This is one of my heroes. His name, we call him Sebi. His name is Sebastian. This is my grandson, 6 years of age. They were visiting us over Christmas, after Christmas, between Christmas and New Year's. And I walked into his room and I said, saw his light was on, it was 6 o'clock. I said, what you doing, buddy? have my devotions. I said, what's that other book? Oh, it helps me understand what I'm reading. He's six. I said, well, bud, do you want to read for Papa? He said, sure. And for a six-year-old, he's a good reader, okay? So he reads all the way through the passages in the Old Testament. And I knew he didn't understand what he read, but I knew he could read it. So I asked him, I said, buddy, do you know what you just read? And he looked at me and said, Papa, didn't you know that people forget all the time? And they even forget what God does for them. So God told him to go over there and pile all those rocks in a big pile that every time they'd see him, they'd remember what God did. Like, duh, Papa, don't you understand? He's now 13. Look real closely at his Bible. What do you notice? He's right at the end, isn't he? This is a chronological Bible that you read every day. This is December 31st. I walked in his room when he finished reading the Bible all the way through. Why? Why does this kid make sure every single morning he spends time reading the Word of God? I'm going to tell you why. Because he has a daddy who happens to be a professor in a state college, a professor of music, who gets up every morning and spends time in the Word of God. I'm telling you, Dad, it is contagious. You want your kids, you want your grandkids, even your wife to be excited about the Word of God, get up in the morning and spend time. Why don't we read? If this is the very words of God, why don't we read like we should? You say, but Rand, you don't understand. I am so busy. I have work and work and the kids and there's so much going on. I am so busy. Okay, maybe we should ask, what should I not do? And I'm not trying to be mean, but when you say I'm too busy, you're just saying, okay, God, I'm too busy for you. Aren't you glad God is not too busy for us? So sometimes we can blame busyness, maybe laziness. Why do I put off reading? You think about, you talk about what you think about, and you think about what you really, really love. You give your time, you give your money, you give your thoughts to that which you really, really love. Teen guys, aren't video games fun? Look at the smiles. Oh, Dad, aren't video games fun, huh? For some. We can sit down for hours, okay? We do what we do because we love what we love. Why do I put off reading? Because I'm lazy. Come on, Rand, you can watch The Chosen. Isn't that good enough, huh? Mm-mm. Which is fine. I think, honestly, we do what we do because we love what we love. And some of you older folks, come on. Fox News gets more time than God, and it repeats every 11 minutes. You don't have to waste your time. Read, examine, apply, do. Say it. Read, examine, apply. Just grandparents? Moms?
Read, examine, apply.
Dads?
Read, examine, apply.
Why should we read? Because I love the Lord, and He wants me to. Shouldn't this be enough? Think about everything He has done for us, and we love Him, and I want to spend time. This is Jesus talking. As many as I love, He says, I rebuke and chasten. In other words, I'm going to get in your case. And I am going to do a little bit of chastening here. Why? Because you're not zealous anymore. You used to be excited. Do you guys remember the day that you trusted Christ? You couldn't wait to read your Bible and pray and tell everybody. And what happens 5-10 years later? Ooh. He says, be zealous and repent. I don't want you to be cold. I don't want you to be lukewarm. I want you to be excited about spending time with me. And then he says, explains it even in more detail. Behold, I'm going to stand at the door, literally the door of the church or the door of your heart, and I'm going to knock. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him, will sup with him, and he with me. There's a famous old picture of Jesus in the garden. Do you remember it? And it kind of has an archway, and he's knocking on the door. If you look real, real closely, guess what? There's no doorknob on the door. God will not force his way in. You got to open the door. You know, robots are cool. I don't know your favorite robot. Could be R2-D2. My favorite one was on Lost in Space. Remember, Penny, warning, Dr. Smith. Robots, you can program a robot to quote the Bible in 45 different languages. You can put a drone on a robot and drop him off in front of your church 15 minutes before every service. You can even hook them up to your bank account and make sure they're tithing. You know what a robot cannot do? Do you know what AI will never be able to do, ever? It cannot love. It can't love. What is the greatest commandment of all but to love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind? We don't spend time with God because we have to. We don't do devotions. We spend time with God because we want to. There's a difference. And this is what Jesus is talking about. Open the door. He's written this to a church that used to love him a little bit more, but they get a little bit too rich and a little bit too busy, and they didn't have time for him anymore. Sound familiar to our hearts? But he says, if you open the door, I'm going to come in and we'll sup with him. What word do we know comes from sup? Supper. I always think of Charlie Brown and Snoopy for whatever reason. Because sometimes Charlie Brown will come, give Snoopy food. Snoopy gets all, it's supper time. Yeah, it's supper time. Wah! You know, and he's just dancing around. And Charlie says, can't you eat your food like any other dog, okay? To sup means to feast, to banquet, to dine. My favorite meal the whole year is Thanksgiving meal. I love it. Let me explain why. First of all, the kids come, our grandkids, and there's no presents to worry about. We just hang out. It's a beautiful time of year. And so I get up early with my wife, and Sherry has the bird clean. So we put out of the fridge maybe 6:30 in the morning, and she always pats it and says, thank you for giving your life for us, okay? And then we stuff it, you know. And then she, I don't know why, but she takes handfuls of mayonnaise and slathers it all over the outside that they make it toasty brown. So we put it in the oven, and we're going to eat at noon, about 10:30, 10:45. You can smell that bird cooking. Oh, it's great. Everybody's coming. Everybody's getting hungry. And about 11 o'clock, 11:15, Amber says, are you ready to help with the turkey? I said, yeah. And so 11:30, we take it out of the oven because I'm going to cut it up and put it on this big platter. And then my wife says something I still don't understand. I think it's really dumb, personally. She said, oh, no, wait a minute. You have to let it rest. I said, hun, it's dead. But you got to let it rest. So we let it rest. And then we cut it up and we put it on the platter and put it on the table. And then there's the stuffing and the mashed potatoes, the green beans with bacon. Over here's a couple pumpkin pies. I think, oh, I regret that I have one stomach for this meal, you know. And so we start eating and we laugh and we talk and we eat some more and laugh some more and talk some more. Sometimes we'll spend 2 hours at the table for our Thanksgiving dinner. It is wonderful. And you know what we do with God? We go through McDonald's drive-thru. We try to find something fast, quick, and easy. Check, get it done. It's kind of sad, isn't it? Read, examine, apply, do. Say it. Read, examine. Read a New Testament letter once a day for 30 days. I dare you. You say, Rand, I'm really busy. Well, if you do the book of Philippians, it'll only take you 9 minutes and 30 seconds to read through it. You say, I don't even have that much time. Then do Philemon. Take you a minute and 45 seconds, okay? You read it through on the first day of the month and then do the same thing the second day and then the third day. And keep reading the same book over and over for 1 month. By the time you get to day 15, 18, you're kind of excited because you know what's next. A young Christian that we were working with, we were doing the book of Esther. She comes to this Bible study. She says, I'm sorry. So what's wrong? I know we were only supposed to read the first half of the book. I had to find out what happened at the end, so I cheated and read ahead, okay? Oh, wouldn't it be great if we all would still have that in our mind? Break a gospel down and read the three or four different sections. Personally, I love the Gospel of Mark. We have a new six-week Bible study. It'll come out probably next year. And it's called Snapshots of the Savior. And he was like a teenager because the word straightway is used over and over and over. And it's like Jesus walked on water and he fed 5,000 and he healed a blind man and on and on and on. So try that. Or maybe do this. Read about Bible topics. Okay? What do I mean, Bible topics? Okay? All right. I'll probably find somebody here to embarrass. Okay? What's your name, sir? What's your name? Sean, okay. Now, I don't know Sean, but I trust what we're going to talk about could even be part of his life. Suppose Sean, understanding men, understanding God wants us to be pure and even our thoughts, he's burdened. And so he says, you know, I know the struggles so many my friends have and teens and even older guys with their thought life. So Sean, right? I almost forgot their place. So what Sean does is he gets Randy Alcorn's book, The Purity Principle, maybe Heath Lambert's Finally Free or The Lest You Fall book from the Wilds, and he takes 6 months and he reads everything he can on how to encourage others to have a clean thought life. And then a couple new believers in your church, they're sitting down and one guy says to the other, hey, I was on my phone the other day. Oh, I'm so sick of this stuff. I wish I knew how I could not think in a way that displeases God. And the other guy says, hey, you know Sean? He's in our church, you know? We heard that he spent 6 months studying everything the Bible says about thought life. Let's go talk to him. You could become the go-to counselor for guys in your church. Yeah? I am not kidding, okay? Some of you ladies, all I have to do if I'm preaching to teens, whether there's 100 or 500, is say the word anxiety. That's all I have to say. And teenage girls today, they're just so fearful and anxious. So you get stress less, trust more, or fear not, and you go into the Word of God, and you study this. You can become the go-to counselor. Read about Bible topics. Read about Bible characters. Study them. Make them your friend. I cannot wait to get to the new world. I'm going to find John and Mark, and we're going to go to a coffee shop together and hang out. I want to hang out with those two guys. You say coffee shop? In the new world? Yeah. Probably won't be Starbucks. It'll probably be something like maybe Hebrews or like that. Or even better, there's a new one. How about this? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, slightly roasted, never burnt. Okay, something like that. I don't know. But read about Bible characters so you can find out what it was really like to be with Jesus, okay? How about this? Read chronologically like Sebi did. It is so cool. You go through starting the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and then all of a sudden you get into like Samuel and Kings and Chronicles, and David's hiding but praying, and next thing you know, Solomon's giving us some wisdom, and the prophets are telling us what's coming ahead. You get to Ezra and Nehemiah, they're building the walls, and the Old Testament is over. You walk into the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, it's like ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox News, about everything Jesus is doing. Crawl into the book of Acts, and Paul's going to Philippi, and he's going to Berea and Thessalonica. Next thing you know, Judas tells us what not to do, and Revelation comes, the Lord returns. You're done. And you've read the Bible all the way through. And tonight, you're going to do some of that, right? Guys, you can do this. You can do this if it's a priority. Read, examine, apply, do. Say it. Turn to the person next to you and say it. So, you say, okay, Ray, I'm going to read. Check. No! Don't just read to say I read. Examine what you're reading. You want to figure out what is going on. I love this passage in Nehemiah. They read in the book of the law of God distinctly, and they gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. Aren't you glad that you have a pastor that is intentional, distinctly, and he makes sense. And you, sometimes. And you can understand what it is he's saying. I spend my life in coffee shops and airports because I have to travel so much. Earbuds, cup of coffee, and the six-week Bible studies and the daily meditations. I actually just did it for the teens in New England. We have more senior citizens than we have teens following that thing, okay? But I just do that because I want them to understand the Word of God. So as you read, what do? You find out who wrote it. What was going on? When was it written? Where are they talking about? Why? How? You go to a book like Titus, and he's on this island of Crete, and it's like sinful island, and Paul says, hey, you got to go and help him out to get things straightened out. So examine the Word of God. Read, examine, apply, do. Say it.
Read, examine, apply, do.
What about apply? Once you read it, but then you examine, you make sure you understand, it makes sense. Don't stop there, okay, please. Because we know this. Say it with me out loud. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished. You know this, okay? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. What does that mean? Tell me. Okay, all is what? I heard somebody say it. God breathe. What does God breathe mean? Inspiration. You ready? You're 13 years of age. I want you to understand God breathe. Everybody take your hand, put it in front of your mouth. Pretend you're 13 because this is weird. Okay? Repeat after me. Peter picked a peck of pickled peppers. How many pickled peppers did Peter Piper pick? Did you feel that? Did you smell that? Okay, you cannot speak without breathing out. And God breathed out these words. And he told guys like Moses and Daniel and Matthew and John and Paul to write them down. It is called the precious Word of God. And it is a love note to every single one of us. And why did he give it to us? He gives us what? Doctrines to teach us what is right. Reproof to teach us what is wrong. Correction, how we can make the wrong right. And I love this one, instruction, how we can keep it right. I'm telling you, folks, the Word of God is wonderful. Read it. Say it. Read, examine, apply. All right, here we go. What about the do? We read it. We want to understand it. We're going to apply it. I know what needs to change. I know what I should do. So here we go. Pastor, this is discouraging. The secret of retention and learning. Do you know when pastor stands up, any of you Sunday school teachers, small group leaders, I'm teaching, we're standing. I realize that, guys, you might only get 5% of what I'm saying. That's not fun. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make you read it. Now we're up to 10%. I'm going to use PowerPoint. Nah, 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 nah. Now we're up to 20%. We're going to talk about it. We're going to discuss it. Yeah. And if you guys would simply go home and take an extra 10 minutes a day, ready, and read your Bible, now you're up to 75%. Ooh. And get with your kids and grandkids. I don't care if they live 1,000 miles away. We have FaceTime. Hey, what did you learn about God today? Encourage them to read. Now we're up to 90%. This is amazing. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Because we're deceiving ourselves. If you even think, okay, I read God loves me more. No! That's not it. The idea is I read it so I love him more. He already loves me. I can't change that. But I can grow my love for him by spending time in his word. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night that thou mayest observe what? To do. You say, Rand, stop. We live in a weird world and we need to be prosperous and we need to be successful. No, just meditate. Just do the word of God. Then your way will be prosperous. Then you have good success. Don't look for the success and prosperity. Spend time with your wonderful Lord. You know this. Say the first one with me. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. How many of you believe that verse is true? Let me see your hands. Sweet. I'm going to take just a second. I'll pick two or three of you, and I want you to stand up. And once you do, I'll hand you the mic. Share one or two of the verses you've been memorizing in your personal devotions the last couple weeks, because I promise whatever you're reading and memorizing will be a great blessing to others, okay? Let's start with, everybody's looking away from me all of a sudden. I'm not going to call on anyone. You know why? Probably be pretty quiet, wouldn't it? That word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin. And guys, we still get an attitude with our wives and don't love them like we should. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin. And you moms still worry and don't trust God. It doesn't even make sense. God tells us what to do. Memorize the word of God. Then I will meditate in thy precepts. That's huge to meditate. Sometimes if we just read, again, we're doing the checklist. But if you stop, take a breath, take some time and meditate, it'll help you, I promise. Meditation is an agricultural term. How many of you live on a farm? Okay. How many have ever been on a farm? Let me see. How many ever sang, "Oh, McDonald had a farm," okay? Pastor, I got to make this real easy, real quick. I grew up working on a farm. The girl cows, the ones we get milk from, you know, the white ones, white milk, black ones, chocolate milk, you got all that. They get up early in the morning, and if they eat at 6:30 in the morning, and if a cow gets hungry again, around 10:30, 11, she doesn't have to eat again. She just takes food in one stomach. God made her this way. And she burps it back up into her mouth, chews it up again, swallows it, and puts it in another stomach. Isn't that cool? Guys, we wouldn't have to carry a lunch with us to work. She gets hungry at 2:30, same food, pukes it back up, chews it up again, swallows it again. Ladies, aren't you glad that God made cows like cows, not men like cows? Because we could be sitting here right now, and all of a sudden you're thinking, how long is Rand going to go, ooh, that was a good donut. No, we don't do that, okay? But the reason the cow chews her cud, she wants to get every nutrient. Slow down, take a breath, spend some time thinking of every word. You know what, Pastor, this week I was just doing some meditating and reading, and I got stuck on the word "the." Because in the next verse it didn't say "the," it said "our." The power of a personal possessive pronoun. And I'm not even good at English. He is not the God. He is my God. He is our Savior. I'm telling you, that's what will happen. I delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. And I've helped you with some of this. Back on the table, and the money goes to the camp. Doesn't go to me at all. And there's a couple more since this series. And I know you guys have probably never, ever struggled with thought life, lest you fall, or with anger, bitterness, turn away wrath, or fear, meditations overcome worry and discouragement. You know what these little booklets are? People come and say, Rand, do you have a verse for? Each little booklet is 125 approximately verses that deal with these topics, and they're just little tiny meditations about that long. You can read it in like 4 minutes. Put it next. It's not a book you read through and say you're done. Put it next to your bed and just read one. And then that week, read the same one till it's part of you. And then go to the next one. I promise you, if you struggle with any of these things, or daily meditations, you can go to randhummel.com. Again, it's totally free. I did it for teens, but some of you, like Spurgeon said, preach to teens so adults may understand. It's like 5 minutes, and it could be a blessing to you. So here we go. Then I will delight myself in thy statutes. If you read and examine and apply, and you would simply do what you're reading, I will not forget thy word. Right in the middle of temptation, man, your wife says something that really irritates you, and you're like, be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. The wrath of man works not the righteousness of God. Anger resteth in the bosom of fools. Remember, the word for fools is moros. Don't act like a moron. All this goes through your mind like in seconds. And you take a breath and you don't respond in an unbiblical way. Memorize, meditate, and master. Be honest with me. How many of you would say, Rand, oh, I'd love to, but I really, really, really struggle in memorizing scripture. Let me see your hands if that's you. Okay, sir. I don't ever want you to memorize again. I don't. I want you to quit. You know what I want you to do? I want you to read. So if you're struggling, I want you to go Psalm 23. I want you to read that one really quick every night before you go to bed for 1 month. Okay. And guess what? You don't have to memorize it. About the 20th day, it's like, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want nothing else. Okay, it's just, it becomes part of you. Meditate. You say, Rand, I'm not really smart. Okay, simply read. Read through that book over and over until, oh, now it makes sense. Now I got it. You say, but Rand, how do I master? Read the word of God. Read, examine, apply, do. Say it. But I'm not quite done. Because when you were a little tiny kid, for some of you who have been saved most of your life, you used to sing a little song. And it sounded something like this. Read your Bible, pray every day. And you'll what? Grow, grow, grow. Do you remember the second verse? Forget your Bible, forget to pray. And you'll shrink, shrink, shrink. So as we get closer to closing, here we go. I'm looking around. What's your name, sir?
Matt.
Okay. Jonah, right? Let's time warp. I want Jonah to be, I'll give you 7 years, okay? I want little Jonah to come to you, Matt, and say, hey, Daddy, could you teach me to pray? Could you do that, Dad? Now, we all immediately say, well, yeah. Seriously? Is your prayer life so consistent and intentional and effective that you could actually teach your son in a way that you know would really please God? I'm not being mean, but for some of you dads and grandpas, your kids and grandkids can lip sync to your prayers because you say the same thing every single time you pray. Lord, came to pass as Jesus was praying in a certain place. Jesus had a certain place to pray. Where's your certain place? Where is it that your kids know you'll be every morning at 6:30? Where is it that your wife can already, if she wants to, have coffee sitting there or a couple cookies waiting for you when you get up and spend time with God? When he finished praying, one of his disciples said to him, teach us to pray. So, Jesus did, in one passage, teach us how not to pray. When you pray, I shall not be as the hypocrites. Hypocrites, the play actors, the pretenders. Come on. Just because we're saying words that sound spiritual does not actually mean we're talking to God. They love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets. Look at the next phrase. That they may be seen of men. That is one Greek word. It's the word theaomai. And it literally means to be, it's where we get our word theater. To be a spectacle, to be amazed at. It's a performance rather than something that comes from a heart. It is not real. It's just play acting. And many of us in this room, if we were asked to pray publicly, we could do it with a bunch of cool religious phrases that are very robotic and repetitive. And we could talk to the other people in the room as we pray, and maybe not even to God. Now, I'm your friend. But I work with teens, and some young teens who have been saved for 2 weeks seem to know how to talk to God better than some of us have been saved forever. I say to you, they have the reward. What's the reward? They were seen to men. But when you pray, enter into your closet. And when you shut the door, pray to your Father, which is in secret. Why a closet? Well, normally sweaters and shoes won't talk back to you, okay? And you won't hear distractions from the TV or kids or nothing. So you find a place that's unhurried and unhindered, okay? But when you pray, it says there, you can't quite see it there, but use not vain repetition. Again, I want to be your friend, but I'm going to be very honest with us. I think most of us use vain repetitions when we pray way too often. Now, some of us maybe grew up in more of a Catholic background where you were trained to repeat things over and over. When I was really bad, you do Psalm 23 of the Lord's Prayer. If you're really, really bad, you do it 50 times, okay? My grandma was going to be a nun. She never was, or I wouldn't be here, but she was going to be a nun. So I learned some of those things when I was real little. If I called on someone to pray right now, 9 times out of 10, I would probably hear this phrase. Lord, thank you for this day. Should we be thankful for the day? Yes. Do we have to tell God that every single time? No. When you see somebody say the same thing every time, it's like a crazy man. We should be thankful. And if you're really thankful for the day, okay. Most of the time, it's a robotic, repetitive phrase that we say while we're thinking about what we want to say. Even the way you close your prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you think about what that means? At camp, if I don't do it anymore, but when I prayed for the meals, I would never pray in Jesus' name, amen. Why? Because I say, it's like Pavlov's dog. The kids pull their chairs out and start sitting down. So I say, as we pray in the name of Jesus, is he done yet? Amen. I trick him every single time. Study your prayers. Listen to yourself pray. Men, ask your wife. If you say the same thing in the same way every single time. So, Lord, teach us to pray. Well, he does tell us how to pray. Is that able to pull up there? Okay, we're not going to quite all be in screen, but I think I can pull it off. After this manner, therefore, pray. In other words, Jesus didn't say, I don't want you to repeat these words. After this manner, here's a guide. Jesus is saying, here's my prayer list of 6 things that are very, very important that I want you to have in your prayer life. Can we say it out loud and see if we can finish it, even though it's not on the screen? Ready? Our Father, who art in heaven, lead us not to temptation, for thine is the kingdom. Amen. Okay. When you pray, who do you talk to? Okay. Who do you address? And I'm not saying that those who pray to Jesus or like David did in the Old Testament. All I know is this. If you study the way Jesus prayed, and the way Paul prayed, every single time, they always address their Father. And if you see what it says, he's my Father. He's our Father if you're a Christian. Our Father. And sometimes when I pray, it's different days. Some days it's my wonderful, loving, joyful Heavenly Father. And other days it's my patient, forgiving Heavenly Father. I'm serious. It's not always the same. Just like if I was talking to you, you wouldn't want me to repeat everything the exact same way I did yesterday. Who's in heaven? God is real. In a real place. Waiting to hear me now. So when you pray, do this. Take a breath. My wonderful Heavenly Father, I know you're real. And I'm talking to you. I'm not talking to people around me. I'm talking to you. Hallowed, holy, honored be thy name. Now please, I don't want to offend anybody, but folks, we get so plastic in our praying that sometimes we don't think and we get in a hurry. You know we do. And what I'm about to say, I don't want to offend anyone. But I travel and I have to be at these things called preachers' meetings. And this is what I'm going to say. Sometimes I'm afraid we take God's name in vain while we're praying. Father God, we pray, Lord, that the word of God today will. Whoa, stop and think about what I just said, Dan. Hey, Dan, how you doing, Dan? Good to see you, Dan. Is Dan having a good day, Dan? I hope so, Dan. Dan, I really like Dan's shirt, Dan. So, Dan, I'm going to go back to preaching, Dan. But, Dan, it was good to be at your church, Dan. And, Dan, I hope that Dan has a good day, Dan. Okay, Sam? Good, Dan. Bye, Dan. You say, Rand, if you do this, what is the matter with you? Father God, we pray, Lord, that, think about that. Just saying his name in different ways doesn't make you more spiritual. One of our staff prayed at lunch. I heard him pray. Next day, I said, go pray for lunch. He said, I did yesterday. Go, I'm busy. I had a card and a pen, /. He said, in one lunch prayer, he said, Lord, 41 times. Lord, we pray, Lord, that, Lord, and some of you do the same. I'm not being mean, but we're not thinking. We're just robots, repetitive. Stop, take a breath, talk to God. Thy kingdom come. Lord, would you come today? I pray that every day. I'm ready for him to come. I'm setting dates every other day, man. I really don't set dates, but oh, what's my date set now? I don't remember the exact day, but it's coming up real close. It's called Rosh Hashanah. It's the Feast of the Trumpets, the last of the Jewish feast. It's at the end of September. He's coming back. You say, Rand, you don't know the day or the hour. It's a two-day feast. I don't know the day or the hour, but I know the feast. Okay, no. But you really want, are you ready to stand before God? Some of you are not. You have never actually taken care of this humbling yourself, expressing your sinful condition, asking God for forgiveness. And you're going to come to this church some Sunday morning, I'm sorry, and many will be gone. Most will be gone. That'd be pretty sad, wouldn't it? Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Lord, help me do your will today. Help me to be a godly dad. Help me be a godly mom. Help me be a praying grandpa or grandma. Lord, I want to do your will and go visit that friend that needs you. Just pray this. Lord, help me to do your will today. Give us this day our daily bread. What's this about? Do you remember the children of Israel? 40 years through the desert, right? And daily they had to depend on God. There was a daily God dependence that we don't understand in our world today because we have freezers and grocery stores, etc. But these people, for 40 years, early in the morning, they had to go out and pick up what? What was this called? And what does manna mean? What is it? Okay. But did you ever study what manna tastes like? In one place, seriously, the Bible says it's sweet as honey. In another place, it tastes like fresh oil. It's like the donuts we had this morning. They went out and had a bear claw every morning, okay? Oh, by the way, what did God send at night? Because they were still hungry and they wanted more. What was it at night? Quail. They came, I don't know if they just grabbed them, put them over a fire or what. They had quail at night. Manna in the morning. Chicken and biscuits every day. And they still complained. I don't get that. But there's something else because it gets hot in the desert. What did God put over them as they traveled? What was it? Come on. God, great big clouds, yeah. What do you put over them at night? Cloud of fire. In the daytime, it's hot. I'm looking for shade. Thank you, Lord. At nighttime, I at least want a nightlight to see where I'm going a little bit and maybe a little bit of warmth. Watch me. You know all these people had to do to acknowledge the presence, the provision, the power of God? Watch me. This is all they had to do. You know all we have to do? Look up. Good morning, Father. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for saving me. Be daily dependent. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Question, don't raise your hand, please. Is there anyone on this earth you refuse to forgive? I don't know you guys personally. You may be in a second or third marriage, or there may be someone that's been extremely abusive or mean to you and you hate their guts. I understand. When I was a kid, 8 years of age, my pastor ran off with my mom. Now, God fixed my heart later with forgiveness, but for many, many years, I wanted him to die and go to hell. He took my mom away. And I had to deal with that when I got in my 20s because I was pretending as I prayed because I wasn't right with God. If you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you. When you come to an altar to pray, if you have aught, anything against anyone, leave your gift. Don't pray. Don't sing. Don't give. Don't worship. Go make it right with a person, then come back. Okay? Release them to God. It doesn't mean you're going to be best friends and be buds. And it doesn't even mean that what they did was okay. It wasn't okay. But you release them to God. Okay? But if you refuse to forgive, you know what happens? God won't forgive us. Understanding then that he says, deliver us from evil, or the evil one. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You say, Ram, we don't talk like this anymore. So as we close, my loving Heavenly Father, please keep me in your will. Help me to depend on you today. Forgive me. Please help me forgive others. Please keep me from sin. And thank you for being such a wonderful, powerful God. Hey, Daddy, will you teach me how to pray? Where'd our buddy go?
He's in the back now.
Are you back there? Boy, I didn't look down here. I'm thinking, whoa, early rapture. No, okay. Someday, little Jonah, hopefully we'll be able to say this. Okay, if somebody you love comes to you and says, could you teach me to pray? Would you say this out loud with me? Ready? My loving Heavenly Father, please keep me in your will. Help me to depend on you. Amen. Why? Because I love the Lord. And he wants me to. You want to grow in your walk with God? You want to be an example that is literally contagious to the people that you love? Read your Bible and pray. Let's bow our heads. Before I close, I'm just going to pray for all of us. Every single one of us need to grow in this area. You get incredible teaching Sunday after Sunday here from your pastor. The Wednesday nights and the Sunday nights and the men's groups and ladies' groups. But God wants to hear from you, from your own closet, from your own heart, where you say, my loving, forgiving Heavenly Father. So ask God, even now, Lord, would you help me learn to pray better? Would you remind me to read, examine, apply, and do your precious word? I'm going to give an invitation, and I want the invitation to last for 6 months. Just go home and do. Read, examine, apply, do, and talk to God. Let me give you a second to pray, and then I'll pray. And just before I pray, if you're here, your heads are bowed, and you say, Rand, you said something a little bit ago that honestly kind of scared me about the Lord returning and walking into this church, because I've never put my faith and trust in Jesus. I never have. I've been wrestling with this. I know that God's convicted my heart and drawn me. Then please don't say no. Don't say no, I don't want you, God. Because Romans 1 tells me that he might listen to you and give you what you want. And if you would just say, Rand, I am struggling with the salvation thing. I am. There's a lot of background to why I struggle, but I'm struggling. Just would you please pray that God would give me the courage to get with someone or get with God and get this settled real, real soon. Pray for me. I'm not sure. I'm a Christian. I won't embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to come forward, but I will pray. Just raise your hand so I can see it. And put it back down. I promise I'll pray for you. Pray for me, Rand. I'm really struggling with this salvation thing. Please pray for me. God bless you. Anyone else? Just pray for me, please. I don't want to live with this doubt and this fear. I'm not trying to be proud about this. I want to know for sure. Anyone else? And I'll pray. Father, you love us more than we can even imagine. Or you wouldn't even, if you didn't love us, you would not have convicted our hearts today about spending time in your word and talking to you in a proper way. So thank you. Thank you for this time together. Thank you for convicting our hearts. I trust that every single one of us would be recommitted to spending more time with you this coming year. For those who do struggle, ones raise their hand, those who are struggling, just show them how much you love them. And draw them to yourself and give them the courage to get with the pastor, his wife, or one of their friends and get this taken care of. Lord, we love you. Oh, we don't even deserve to have your word. But help us to show you how much we love you by spending time with you every single day. Thank you so much, Lord, for being so good to us. As we pray in the name of Jesus, amen.